Paul writes the book of Galatians for one simple reason. It's actually a book that is the same thing as that video. He says, don't forget about grace and don't stop living in it. So that's the first slide there. And I want you to follow along with me in the outline there. The book of Galatians is all about this one simple message. Do not forget or stop living in the grace of Jesus. You see, Paul's message to the Galatians who are starting to hear that there's other older Christians, not that that was very old at that time, but they're saying, hey, you've got to live by Jewish culture and all this. They're hearing that you've got to not just accept Jesus and believe in him and live in a relationship with every day, but you need to do all these other things. You need to live like this, this, and that. And Paul's message is this: look, you do not earn grace. You don't earn it. You don't do something to qualify for it. Jesus did something to qualify it for you. He earned it for you, but you don't. What you need to learn to do is you need to learn in it. And actually, Jesus, in a sort of way, and you know, we could talk a little about this, but in a simple sense, when you come to Jesus, you only have one job. Now, it may look a lot different, but you only have one job when you come to Christ, and it's this. It's the next slide there. Your job is to make sure you don't miss grace. I mean, that's the one job you have. And whether it's about salvation, whether it's about healing in your life, whether it's about maturity and growing up, or whether it's about the mission that your life is so useful that you're not just, God's not wasting the breath that you breathe. He's got a purpose for you. You've really only got one job. It's to make sure you don't miss grace. God's going to give it to you, and God's always going to be calling out to you about it, and that's your job. So Paul's trying to convince some Christians that are starting to get, the Galatians, they're starting to get pretty convinced that, oh man, I need to do this, this, and this, and I need to look like that. And so Paul says, look, let me explain it in my own life. And this week, I'm going to invite you to start discovering grace for yourself, not just hear it from me. And I'm going to invite you, and we'll talk about it a little later, for you to start reading the book of Galatians, and not just read it, but actually study it. And we're going to go over that in a minute. But what he says, what you'll read this week, starting on Wednesday, or on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, is Paul says, look, let me share about grace by telling you my own story. So he uses his life as an example. And he says this in chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many, many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by grace, and then he goes on. See, Paul says this. He said, look, here was my life. I was religious. I was intense, I was committed, I was advancing, I was smart, I was zealous, but then one day, God's grace called me. One day, regardless of who I was and what I was doing, God did something that I could never do, I could never make happen. God's grace called me. For all the good I thought I was doing, in truth, I was destroying. My life was actually bent on destroying people and causing people trouble. And one day, God's grace called me. And so I think that's kind of nice to think about. But if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, first of all, you know that wasn't his name until only a few years ago when he was writing this, because his name was actually Saul. And, you know, he says, yeah, there was this one day when God's grace called me. And we're all like, oh, isn't that great? He was walking in a meadow by a stream, and there was some butterflies, and it was, that's the one day. It's like, that was not the day Paul is talking about. Paul says this really nice thing. God's grace called me. I thought this morning, if you're going to appreciate the book of Galatians, you need to understand what that day was like. So I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. There's some Bibles in the seat spaces between you if you want to do that. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read the day that God's grace called Paul. Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to invite you, no matter who you are this morning, younger, I'm going to invite you not to tune out, but really try to put yourself in this story, because God's trying to put you in this story, just the way it's going to look for you. So Acts chapter 9, I'm just going to start from verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Lord Jesus, we ask now that as we do what is possible, which is with all that we are, just open ourselves up to hear, to focus, to think about, to be changed by you, would you do the impossible in our lives today and break us free of chains and change us from that Saul to that Paul, from that person who we were before grace to that person we can be after grace. We ask it now in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. So what does it look like when the grace of God calls you? You're going to be kind of surprised, because it's not that picture of a meadow in a field. Number one, God's grace is calling us when we get knocked down. Getting knocked down in life is God's grace calling us. You see, Saul, before the road to Damascus, he had physical sight, but he could not see anything the way it really was. He was religious, he was intense about his life, he was advancing in his profession, he was faithful to heritage and tradition. And Saul, in his pride, he thought he was right. He thought even God justified how he was living. But Saul didn't realize he was more blind than anything physically could ever happen to him. His life that was advancing was based on causing other people incredible grief. His life that was advancing and being successful was about destroying people and about causing trouble in homes. And he never saw the connection. And one day, the most grace-filled thing God did in his life was knock him down. Now, to you and me, that doesn't sound like grace. That sounds like, oh yeah, that mean God who does those things. And yet, we can be so blind that unless we get knocked down, we will never even consider that we're missing something. And so what God does, sometimes his greatest act of love for you and me is to let that relationship absolutely end. And we wonder why, and we grieve, and we're all broken up. We don't know how to live life. And God's saying, I'm you know, that romantic relationship, you know what? That you need to see something. Sometimes it happens in our profession. Sometimes when we're married, all of a sudden everything's great, and all of a sudden something starts going wrong at home, and our thought is, I can't believe that's happening. Doesn't everybody know how busy I am at work? It's like, no, I'm trying to show you something needs to change in your life. Sometimes the thing God does the most to show us grace is he knocks us down. Because you and I can never overestimate, never, how much pride is so rooted deep down to the very core of who we are. I mean, even as we're growing in the Lord, it's just, it's so rooted down that the only way for God to get rid of it is to kill us. For us to die with Christ and be renewed with him. That's the only way it's even possible to separate pride from your life. And so what God does sometimes in his love is he knocks us down. But notice what Saul does when he gets knocked down. The guy who studied the scriptures, the guy who's more religious than anybody else, he doesn't even know who did it. Who are you? Who are you, Lord? You know, when you get knocked down, when I get knocked down, we're tempted to do the same thing. We don't see it's God who's knocking us down. Not out of harm, but out of love. We don't even see it. And what are we tempted to do? Well, if you were my spouse and really loved me, you'd understand. We start, oh, it's them. It's them. It's the school. It's the government. It's the this. It's the that. Circumstances are getting tough in our lives, and we're getting knocked down, and God's trying to love us through. It's not saying that people aren't doing wrong around us, but God has allowed it to knock us down, and we take the very most, that we take the core of our heart and our most emotional energy, and instead of turning like Saul and saying, who are you, Lord? Who are you? We start fighting everybody around us. And we miss, get this, we miss the grace of God. Because that moment is to help us to learn who God is. And to say, you know, God, this emotional earthquake in my life right now that's knocking me down, are you trying to show me something of who you are that I don't get? Have you always been this other thing? Because to be honest, when circumstances turn like a nightmare in our life, you know, some of it's just the brokenness, and it's just hard, no matter where you are spirit. It's just hard. God's grace is there. But you know what? When it gets to the point that we cannot go on, when it gets to the point that it's just everything we thought, you know, every worst nightmare's happened, you know, really that's showing there's an idol that we've based daylight on. And when that goes away, it's a nightmare. And we've got to really say, Lord, with what's knocking me down, would you show me who you are? Because maybe I don't know you as good as I thought I knew you. God is taking every season of our life not to harm us, but because he's got good plans for us. And sometimes the most grace-filled thing he does is let us get knocked down. Now, the beautiful thing is, not only does grace call us by the way we get knocked down, but number two, by getting time to listen and learn. By getting time to listen and learn. Saul is physically, has all the sight in the world before Damascus. But when God knocks him down, all of a sudden he doesn't know how to live anymore. All of a sudden light, he's blind. It's like, I don't know what to do anymore. And God leaves him there for 3 days. And the Bible tells us that he is blind, seeking God. He's praying. He's fasting. Because he doesn't know what to do next in life. He's stuck. He's blind. The way he used to look at life and look at his future, it's not working anymore. And so he's blind. And, you know, sometimes the grace of God leaves us stuck, leaves us in a place that God's trying to say, would you take some time and listen? Would you take some time to learn? When you go back and study Galatians chapter 1, one of the things you're going to be very tempted to read over and not even think about is where Paul says, yeah, after I got saved, I took 3 years and went to Arabia where nobody knew me and I didn't know anybody. And for 3 years, all I did was listen and learn. You really need to think about that when you read that on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week. What does it mean to not always have everybody seeing me and all my faith always be about who's seeing me and who I'm with? What's in my life about stopping and understanding? Because this is what Saul has to do after he's been knocked down. After, you know, the guy who was telling everybody else what was right, the guy who was so sure that he was right and all these other people was wrong, that he was going to tell a whole bunch more people they were wrong and force them physically to change their minds. That guy was forced to listen and learn, and what he had to say was this: God, show me what I'm not seeing. Show me what I'm not seeing, God. And that's the heart, you and I, every day. That's not a once-a-week thing. That's an everyday life, because there is grace there. There is grace if we will stop and say, God, what am I not seeing today? You know, we've got to learn to do it in the big things and the small things. And the world's so hard on us that if we don't look for it every day, we'll miss it. So this past Sunday, we had our praying for the schools, and we had our Thomas Dale service, and then we had praying for schools, and then the next morning I had Department of Social Services with the county that I volunteer with, and I just knew it was going to be a crazy week. And Sunday night, Pastor Brandon, everybody did such a great job pulling that together, and we led our school officials and a few of the pastors of our community and a few people, teachers, we led them in this thing, and the whole time I'm just trying to make it work. It's a little tough coordinating everybody and churches. It's the beginning of school year, so it's hard for everybody to say, oh yeah, I'll plan ahead. So we just all show up, right? I mean, that's what we do, because it's better to show up and pray than not show up. So we show up, and so on the fly, I mean, the whole time, like I'm just trying to figure out, okay, someone needs to do this, that. I mean, like the whole service. And it's going well, and God's using it. And at the end of the service, I'm trying to figure out, someone's supposed to do something, didn't, so I get up to finish up. And I get up there, and we're praying a little bit. I'm like, oh, you know, I know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to finish in the Lord's Prayer, because that'll be perfect, right? So we finish in the Lord's Prayer. We're saying the prayer I've said a zillion times, and I mess it up in front of the entire community. I literally forgot two lines of the Lord's Prayer. Like right in the middle of the thing. I couldn't believe it. I was like, in front of like all the other pastors in our area, this guy doesn't even know the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. You know, oh, he's one of those pastors. All right. You know, I'm like, Dr. Newsom, the school board, everyone. I was like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I felt so bad. So I know I've got to, like, by 8:30, I've got to be at social services. And I was actually chairing it that day, so I had to get there early. I'm working all that stuff. And I get up, and I'm exhausted. I'm like, you know what? I've got to spend some time in the Word this morning, because I'm still chewing. I'm like, I worked all, I tried. God, we worked so hard, and I do that, and no pastor of the thing thinks I even know the Bible anymore. And so I'm doing a devotion, and instead of just reading real quick like some of us do, oh, yeah, I read today, you know, actually, like, I'm going to stop. And I stop, and so I see something about love, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I think about love a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, and just, I'm going to read that again. I'm reading it again, and it says, you know, that, you know, if I have the voice of, you know, angels, the tongue of men and angels, but I have not love, it doesn't mean anything. And God just literally stops me in my mind and says, Sean, you know, I know you're pretty embarrassed about saying, but let me ask you something. Sean, did you really love everybody there last night? I was like, Lord, I really did. I love that moment. I love our pastors. I love our community. I love our schools. I really did. He said, you did great. Don't worry about it. I really felt better. I was like, all right, well, one, I'm going to study the Lord's Prayer a little bit more, and two, I'm just going to move on, you know? But it's just, you know, grace happens, and you know, I told you that, and you all of a sudden recognize moments where something kind of sticks in you emotionally, but you keep going. And you can take a moment to get a little grace there, it's going to build. It's just what's going to happen in your life. But grace is there every day if we'll stop to listen and to learn. If you look at the back of your outline, I give you the chance to stop and listen and learn starting tomorrow morning. And what I want to invite you to do, and I really want to invite you to do it yourself, I want you to start learning to discovering the grace of God in your own life. I want to invite you to study Galatians chapter 1 this week. You're going to read the same 10 verses 3 days in a row. And the first day, all you're going to do is observe. Just observe that the first three words of the whole entire letter are, the first word is Paul. And I'm giving you all the meaning of that first word. The only thing I'm doing today is sharing the first word of that entire book. Because if you don't observe that, okay, I notice it's Paul who wrote it, interpret. So what does that mean? Who was he? What was his life about? Oh yeah, man, wasn't he that guy who always was the leader of the Jews and was the most legalistic guy? And isn't this a whole book about not being, that's kind of interesting. Well, what does that apply mean to me? And what we've done is our pastors and our writers for our devotionals have actually written their daily devotion on the phone app, on the Facebook page, on the website, to go with observation, interpretation, application. And what I want you to do, and you'll see there's little questions you can ask, I want to encourage you, discover grace for yourself. Start to give a little time to listen and learn, because if you don't take that time, you're missing grace calling to you. But you've got to take the time to do it. So I hope you'll join us in doing that starting tomorrow. I'm going to move on to point number three. So that's a slide or two ahead, Steve. Thanks for doing that for me. So we want to learn to say and take time, God, show me what I'm not listening. I want to get to number three. When God's grace is calling us when we get helped up. So God's grace, it calls us by getting knocked down, by getting time to listen and learn, and number three, by getting helped up. Now, if you take a moment and try to observe and think about what you're seeing, you notice that the man who grace comes from, that changes Saul, gives him sight again and gets him going, was the guy that Saul was originally coming to arrest. The guy that gives the grace to Saul that he always needed but never knew he needed was from the guy that Saul thought was his enemy. The guy who gives him grace is way different than Saul. These two are not living the same life. And yet it's that person, Paul in Galatians 1 will say, one day God's grace called to me. Guess by who? Someone who is way different than me. I never would have thought God wanted to speak to me through that person. You know, we're all kind of like that joke that goes about that guy who, a flood's coming and it's about a foot high water and a big four-wheeler comes up. The guy's praying, God save me, I'm trapped here, and the big four-wheeler comes up and says to the guy, hey, come on in, the flood's only going to get worse. And the guy says, no, God will save me. And then the flood gets higher till it's filled with this up to the first floor of the house, and he's kind of up in the second of the window, and a boat drives by, and the guy, the boat says, hey, come on in, the flood's only going to get worse. And the guy's like, no, God will save me. And then the guy's up on the tippy top of his chimney because the water's all around on the top of his roof, and a helicopter comes by, and the helicopter says, here, grab the rope. And the guy says, no, God's going to save me. And then the guy drowns. And, he gets up to heaven and says, why didn't you save me? And God's like, what are you talking about? What do you think? Who do you think sent the truck, the boat, and the helicopter? That was me. And yet, we can have a preconceived idea of how God's going to save me, which last time I checked, the Bible says God's ways are way higher than yours and above yours, that he can do a more than you can ask for or even imagine. He's doing stuff you can't even think of. And if you're like that guy in that joke that says, no, God's going to save me this way, you're going to miss a lot of grace in your life. You could have never told Saul, hey, by the way, that guy you think is dead wrong, he's the guy who's going to bless your life more than anybody else. could have never convinced him that grace was coming from that guy. And I'm telling you what I see more and more, and I see it all the time, is when our lives start to drown, right? When our lives start to drown, most of us slap God's hands away as he's trying to grab us and bring us back up. We slap them away. I'm not like those people. I don't, that church is different. They're all like that, and I'm like this. I can't tell you how many times people slap God's hands away because God's going to save me just like this. And you and I have to realize that God's grace calling is from a lot of different people. And if God's going to break you of your pride and your control, he is probably going to use people in your life. They're like, not them. Yeah, probably them. So we've just got to say, are we going to say yes to it? So I want you to think about those three things, that when Paul talks about this day, that God's grace called, it was when he got knocked down. It's when he was getting time alone, which usually when we're afraid and upset, we don't want to be alone. We spend time being distracted and medicating ourselves one way or the other. And number three, what we do is we reject, you know, there's all these people God wants you to know. No, not them, not them, not them. You know, well, there's the truck, the boat, and the helicopter. What else you want to send me? What else can I send you, Sean? And so, you know, that's all kind of amazing when you think about it. But what's the most amazing part of this whole story? That the first word of the letter of Galatians is the name Paul. I mean, just think about it, all right? Because that wasn't his name. Number four, God's grace calls to us when we're getting more than a second chance. More than a second chance. Last time I checked, God wasn't doing what he was doing in Saul's life so he could be Saul again. God wasn't trying to make Saul 2.0. God was trying to make Paul out of his life. And Saul had to realize that he wasn't getting a second chance. What he was getting was a chance to be transformed. He was getting something to be more than what he's ever been. He wasn't getting better. He wasn't getting healed. All those things are in the process. He was getting to be someone he had never, ever been before. And if you get that, why the first word of Galatians, which is just the word Paul, right there shouts grace, it's because what was Saul's former life all about? He was a Jewish leader who said that if anybody else didn't follow Jewish customs, rules, and laws, that they were dead wrong, and that he was gonna force them. That same guy is writing a letter in the Bible about to new Christians because some false teachers who are Jewish are coming in and saying, you've got to do this, this, and this. And Paul says, no, you don't. No, you don't. Been there, done that. Not the way it works. And the thing that was in Paul's life that caused Paul's greatest failure became the source of how he blessed people the most. It's amazing if you stop to think about just the irony of who's writing the letter about grace. It's amazing. You know, I want you to read something else that Paul wrote. It's in Romans chapter 8, I can put up on the screen. I want you to think about Paul's life, Saul to Paul. I want you to think about him writing this in Romans 8. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? And I've got a lot to condemn me about. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And he finishes with something you've got to understand about the Christian life. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Think about Paul's life when he writes that. What's Paul saying? Because he's saying it from personal. He said, look, I didn't just sin, Paul's saying. My life was about condemning everyone else who didn't do it my way. And I didn't just condemn other people. I led everybody else in condemning people. And I didn't just do it. I was obsessed with it. What can I say? What can I say now that I'm a leader, I'm an apostle of the very church, of the very people I caused fear in, I persecuted, I led to some of them, their murders. Some of the families that I'm an apostle over are families that I originally sent their dad to jail or to death. That's me. And you're asking me what I'm here, and all I can say is this: what can I say? What can I say? Everything was against me. You could condemn me all you wanted, but who condemns if God's justified? What can I say if God didn't spare his own son? Who's going to bring a charge against him? You know what? You could bring all the charges and you'd be right. And it's God who justifies me. I never spared anyone, but God spared his own son. How can I have all this? It's only grace. That's all it is grace. Everyone should condemn me, but Jesus died to take it from me. Grace is when, you know, mercy is like, oh, it's so great I'm forgiven. That's good. Maybe grace you think is like, well, I can be better. But to be amazed by grace is to realize that you're more than a conqueror. And what is that? Well, if I'm in a contest, if I'm in a contest and I lose, well, then I'm a loser. If I kind of win, well, I've won. If I win by a lot, maybe I've dominated. If I didn't just dominate, but I mean I just wiped the floor with them, then maybe I was a conqueror. And Paul's saying, I was more than that. You see, everything that was against me, everything that should cause death in my life and destruction and failure, I should have no future. These people shouldn't be listening to me. I should be, you know what that is? God took the very weapons formed against my life, and I didn't just win over them. I didn't even dominate them. I didn't even conquer them. God actually gave them to me and made them my own, that I could turn them around and use them against the enemy for a bunch of other people. I didn't just conquer. I owned what the enemy wanted to use against me for evil is now what God gave me to use for good for other people's lives. That's amazing. So when you get that moment and grace calls, you need to say, I'm more than a conqueror. But here's the word. Next slide. What I really am is I'm transformed. And I want to invite you today to consider how amazing God's grace is. No church is ever going to be really able to accurately say it to a full extent. We're always going to trip over it because that's grace. It's so amazing. We can't put a cookie cutter on it and slap it on every person in the same way. But I want to encourage you today, there is a grace for your life. The video we took, the way we sunk the boat that floats is we stuck a bunch of rocks in it. That's how we did it. And then to float again, we took the rocks out. Basic. And some of you got some rocks in that don't let your boat float. Because you're getting knocked down some circumstances, and instead of trying to ask God who he is in the middle of it, you're just trying to get your circumstances back the way you want it. And all you're going to do is sink some more. Some of you, you know, you're great people, but, you know, until you have a commitment to listen and learn, all you're going to do is get all those thorns in you emotionally. It's just drag you down. Some of you got to, man, you got to open up. It's not a, you know, I mean, I'm glad you're you, but the whole world isn't you. And it'd be good if you accepted that and started to appreciate other people who aren't like you. That might be a good thing. Because if you've got that rock in you, good luck getting up. And, you know, you just got to be willing to say, Lord, don't make me 2.0. Make me something I've never been before. If you'll have that kind of heart, you'll hear grace calling all the time in your life. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we wrap up here. We've got to finish. We're going to have a moment of prayer, and I'm going to invite you to, one, join with me to start reading the book of Galatians tomorrow. By the way, these shirts, obviously, are not just because we want to get away with wearing T-shirts at church, but we just want everybody to be praying for this Saturday. We're doing Chesterfest, and a lot of our church volunteers are going to be wearing these shirts because we're inviting the community to ask questions about God. And Alpha is a course designed for people who are saying, I'm not even acting like I know God or that I think I believe. I just got some questions. So Pastor Sandy has some invitations, and what we'd like you to do is, as you go today, would you grab a few and invite a coworker? Not to Chester Fest, but it starts in this Wednesday, one more Wednesday. We got two, so not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. It starts, and on Wednesday nights, we've got a place for people who don't even, they're not even pretending they're not Christian. They're blatantly not, maybe, and say, yeah, but I got questions. So if you got somebody like that you know, and I'm assuming all of you do because you live on Earth, you should invite somebody. And so make sure you see Pastor Sandy either here or at the table outside. I'm going to ask the deacons and the prayer ministers to come forward if they would. And I think all of us should take a moment to ask for God's grace, that we'd hear it. And so what we're going to do to finish up service, we got about 6 minutes left of service before we got to move, is I'm going to ask us each to pray with somebody in the room about hearing God's grace, hearing the call of grace in life. And whether it's through my circumstance of being knocked down, all the things I list, maybe I need to start hearing grace calling and all those things. What I'm going to invite you to do is you can either find someone up front, one of the prayer ministers or deacons, to pray with you, or you can just find a person next to you to pray in like a prayer circle, and you can get two or three people in there, however many you want, just as long as it doesn't turn into a session about how you think the Redskins are going to do today. Let's focus it on what we're talking about. But what I want to invite you to do is, let's finish up by saying, God, your grace is calling me every day. My one job is to make sure I don't miss grace when it calls my name. And all these places I've kind of assigned to the opposite of grace, and maybe I need to start listening different. Help me to see. Paul says, you know, God showed me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to start us in a word of prayer. And then just for 5 minutes, if you can do that together, either find someone to pray next to you or just come on up front and join with one of the deacons or prayer ministers. And let's just take a moment to say, Holy Spirit, only you can help me know when grace is calling. And I want to learn. So show me. So I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to start in a moment of prayer, and then when I say amen, instead of chatting, I'm just going to invite you to turn, find a person. If you don't have any, come on up front, or if you want a particular person up front to pray for you, some of the pastors, I'm sure, are available as well, and elders. So let's do it. So Lord, we take these last 5 minutes of our service to listen for grace calling us, that we might be like Paul, who said, one day, God's grace called to me, and I was never the same. Lord, wherever we are in life, grace is calling us, but help us to hear it. Lord, guide each person here that they would be willing to be a little out of their comfort zone this morning and not just do what they relate to, but if there's a specific act of grace, someone different than them today, that they need to step out and say, you know what, that's me working on grace this morning. Being willing to hear from someone I usually don't think I should hear from, or just someone I haven't talked to in a while, or just however it is, Lord, guide me in that today. And Lord, would you just encase these last few minutes in your Holy Spirit. As we continue to pray, would you find someone now for prayer? And feel free to come forward if you'd like. Chuck, one of our elders, is right up here as well. Pastor Jason, right there. Just find someone to pray with to finish up. You can come up front if you'd like.